As you know, millions of people claim the truths of the religion that bears his name. But who exactly is this man? Popular religious teacher? Gifted speaker? Ancient martyr? We have spent the last 6 weeks together uncovering from the scripture itself passages that tell us about who this man is. We have discovered that Jesus is the Christ of faith. He is the God-man in every way. He is the rabbi, the one we chose to follow, the miracle worker, the healer, the ransom, and last Sunday, as we praised God with a full house, the risen Lord. And he is so much more. One man among a dozen students who decided with great passion and commitment that Jesus was the Christ of faith and someone worth following was a man named Peter. We love him. We admire him. We are impressed by him. We are embarrassed for him. And most important of all, God in Christ, the man Jesus, loved him and admired him as well. And now, Peter, after the resurrection, like most of the others who witnessed that incredible event we celebrated this last week, is waiting and waiting and waiting because Jesus instructed them after the great moment of resurrection, not many days from now, you wait. You wait. You'll receive instructions. And Peter's waiting. He had encouraged them to wait for him in Galilee, which was just fine with Peter because he was back home of sorts and maybe able to figure out what kind of ministry it's going to be his now and what things are going to look like in the future. And on the other hand, maybe he was feeling like he was back to a fishing industry and a business he remembered so well from years ago. And now more than a week has passed and the silence was beginning to bother him and others. How long do we wait? Jesus didn't say exactly. He said, just wait. Be together. Be in prayer. Remember. Wait for me. He could remember clearly the day that Jesus identified him and gave him a nickname. Remember when he said, the Rock? Because he would be solid and confident and a wonderful, passionate follower of his. And Jesus said, your name will be, I'll call you Peter. You're going to be the Rock. As I think of everybody else around, I'm thinking of you as the solid one. The one who will be there with me to the end. You're the Rock. Peter must have taken that as a great compliment when he heard it. He had recognized him immediately as the one to follow, as the Messiah, as the rabbi. And I see him choosing there in his visits with the master. I want to know you. I want to follow you. I want to go after you. Peter said, I choose to be your follower. And he did. So passionately that he alone would step out of the boat one day, remember? And he would start walking on water for a moment. Because I want to be like you. I want to be like my rabbi. I want to be like Jesus. Jesus called to ask me to come out there to you. And Jesus did. And he started walking. And then Jesus taught him and talked to him about his life and his faith and what was going on in his heart. And then remember, we looked at up there at Caesarea Philippi when Jesus had his men together and they were looking at the last few days now before he would walk into Jerusalem and be crucified. And he gathered them together in that spot, which is an amazing spot, and asked this, who do men say that I am? I've been with you now for close to three years now. Who do people say that I am? Remember? And it was Peter, the Rock. Peter, the follower. Peter, the one who said, I'll be with you. I'll go with you. I love you, Lord, who said, I got the answer. I know. I know. He said that. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who you are. Don't we love him? And Jesus smiled, I believe, and said, God bless you, Peter. The Spirit has spoken to you about that. I can tell. You didn't get that from everything else we're doing. God bless you, Peter. I love you. I'm so glad you're my follower. And then, of course, we remember some really painful suffering that took place. Difficult days for Peter, in which he turned away from his master, from his Lord. He did, and he denied that he even knew him, and it hurt, and he wept, and he left, and it was miserable. And then he witnessed the resurrection. He was one of them there to the tomb to look in and see that God's not here. And they began to remember, as the angels had to prompt it, that, oh, that's right. He said 3 days and he would be alive. He would be among us as a living Lord. And now he's waiting. Just waiting again. Literally resting on a beach with a fire and some friends. Campfires have a way of bringing calmness to people who take time to enjoy them. That's why so many of you love to camp. I know you love to camp. I grew up in a family that camped. Kathy's idea of camping is the Holiday Inn Express. So we don't do a lot of that anymore, but we love to build a fire, don't we? You love to have a fire and sit around the fire, and it just seems like you could stare at that thing for hours. It's calm, it's peaceful, it's so beautiful. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. That's where Peter is right now in John chapter 20. Did you bring a Bible? Will you turn with me and follow along with me and see what happened with this wonderful man we love and Jesus loves, who learned once again that it is worth following him? Our Lord has appeared to them. Finally, he's there. And he breaks the silence in verse 15. John 20, verse 15. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Boy, that's a curious question of Jesus to ask. What did that mean? Scholars have debated for years whether who he was looking at when he said these. What would have been the point of saying, Peter, do you love me more than John? You know? What would be the point of that? Or was he looking at the fish? He knew Peter so well. Was he wanting to go back into fishing? Get back home and walk away from all this? And get back to something I'm really familiar with in my bit? I don't know. But the question is, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Do you love me? And the word for love here, used by John when he records this conversation that he was eyewitness to, was agape. You knew that. Agape is describing a sacrificial kind of love that is wrapped in emotion. Agape love is loving God first, loving neighbor as self, and then loving everybody else. It forgives faults and finds its highest expression when it is least deserved. Agape is a love that grows out of deep, solid commitment. And the question is very confusing to Peter. Maybe upsetting. I don't know. It grieved him. After all we've been through, after everything I've done, everything I've come to realize about you, you're asking me here on the beach if I love you? Lord, you know I love you. You know I love you. As Peter answered and spoke that, John tells us he used a different word, phileo, which is a Greek word that meant family, love. You know, we're in a family together, phileo. Philadelphia is known as a city of brotherly love. That's where the word comes from. That's the one that's used here. Lord, you know I have affection for you. You know I feel deeply for you. You know that. You know that. It's a warm affection for family and friends. But I believe that Peter understood the significance of Jesus' question here because affection was not the issue. It was commitment. So Jesus replied, "Tend my lambs, shepherd my family, love my people." It is quite possible that this statement alone surprised Peter. Maybe he no longer really felt qualified to be a shepherd, teaching others about commitment. He had given this. For 3 years, he had walked with Jesus and done everything that was required of him, had some great moments and then some tough moments, but he had been there all along and he had meant every bit of it. But when the crisis came, he said, "No, I don't know him," and he denied it. And it was a miserable moment for Peter. And the passion ended temporarily. So back to the conversation on the beach, Jesus spoke again a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you agape, love me with sacrificial commitment?" "Yes, Lord. Lord, you know that I phileo you. I love you with affection." You know that. You know that. You know that. And it fell short of what either man probably wanted, and we know it fell short of what Jesus wanted, but it was honest. So Jesus said a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you phileo me?" He used that word. Peter was grieved because he's figuring this out, listening to the master speak. "Lord, you know all things. What do you mean? You know that I love you," Jesus said. "Then tend my lambs, love the sheep." And after what must have been an awkward moment of silence, Jesus continued in verse 18. Look at it. "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, Peter, you used to gird yourself. You used to gather yourself in such a way that you would walk and wherever you wished. You were young. You could do that. But when you grow old, Peter, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will hold you up and bring you where you do not wish to go." The passion that had fueled his style and the greatness in the kingdom, his leadership ability that Jesus identified right off the bat, had come from a place deep inside of Peter where it was real. It appeared completely holy. But all along, it was really serving a somewhat selfish purpose that led to discouragement and despair for this man. Serving a very self-design. And I got to believe that this man, Peter, that we love around that campfire with other guys and Jesus speaking, asking questions about love. "Do you love me? Do you love me?" Was coming to terms with an emptiness that had resulted in pride and selfishness and confusion and trouble. And now he is ready to love his master, not only with affection, but with commitment. And I say all that based on what he wrote in his letters later on, which I'll touch on. And that was how Peter would be able in the next few years to endure extreme persecution years later and ultimately martyrdom Many scholars believe he hung also from a cross upside down in his death. The historians record that. Peter, there is much to learn in your life yet. I'm not finished with you yet. We got more to do together. Verse 20, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, following them, the one who had also leaned back at supper, and said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" So Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what about him?" Don't you love that? Man, I'm getting uncomfortable with all these questions. There's a whole group of people around here, and you're looking right at me and asking the same thing at three times. What about him? What about her? What are you doing with them? Jesus said, "Look, if I want him to remain until I come, Peter, what is that to you? You follow me again." Some lessons are difficult to learn and habits are so hard to break. And Jesus' final comments are best translated, "You keep on following me." Peter, keep on following me. It's a matter of commitment, not just affection. I am the Christ of faith. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am worth following now and forever. Don't worry about anybody else but just yourself. Peter. And I say to us here this morning that we also have been called to follow him like that. It hasn't changed. God still requires a full commitment to him. I realize many of us take it awfully casual, but it's more serious than that. It's God says, "I want you to follow after me completely. I don't want you to just know me and read my book once in a while and refer to me if somebody ever would ask you. I want you to follow me. I want you to come with me and be with me in every way for now and forever." That's what he said to Peter here. And he says the same thing to us here this morning. This Jesus we've been uncovering for the last six Sundays, I say he's worth following. He is. He's still the one I want to follow. I want to know. I want to go after. Then tend my lambs. Then love my sheep. Then care for everyone. Everyone. It's costly. It's rewarding. It may lead to a place where it frightens you right now, but in time you will know it's right. You keep on following me. Is not limited to Peter here. It's for you and you and me. And as you consider your unique calling to follow him this morning and the weeks and the months and the years that God may give you, I would like you to consider these two lessons with me this morning. One, when Jesus plans to move you in a new direction and a challenging new move of some sort, expect a period of discouragement and deep soul searching. That's what happened to Peter. We're going to build the church. I need you. I need a rock. I need a leader who will be a rock, Peter. And I'm there for you. I'm walking with you. And then it got tough because he went through a period of deep discouragement and soul searching that I suppose none of us in this room really, really could understand completely. And yet, we all go through that, don't we? I do. I know what he means. Finding clarity and confirmation can be really difficult when distractions clamor for our attention. Days following the resurrection were really difficult for this man Jesus loved. And only when the time was right did Jesus confront him by that fire about commitment and real love to me forever. And he chose to go with him for the rest of his life. I get it, he said. I'm with you. Thank you, Lord. Second, when the Lord makes it clear that you are to follow him in this new direction, focus fully on him and refuse to be distracted by comparisons with others. It's just always our human nature. When it gets uncomfortable, God is speaking to me. I'm there. I've been there. God, what are you teaching me right now about things? Well, what about Jeff? What about Jared? What about Kath? Pick on somebody else. It's just our nature. It's so easy to do that. You know what God wants to do? He wants to talk to you and me. As Peter was listening and getting uncomfortable, he couldn't resist glancing over at John. Talk to John for a minute. Leave me alone. You know what? It took some time, but Peter became the rock that Jesus predicted he would become. It took a lot of maturity, growth in his life. He wrote some of the beautiful letters in the New Testament that God chose to use as his word forever. And he walked and he lived and he went with the Master from that day on. I believe he got up from that place. I am convinced he is still worth following. I'm going after him. I want to know him better. I want to follow him for the rest of my life. And he did. And he suffered terribly for it in this world's terms. And he's in glory today with his Lord. What would they say about us? What would they say about me? In other words, I think the lesson from Peter here in following him completely is that their suffering is going to be inevitable, Dave. It isn't a multiple choice question. It will come. What did Peter learn about that? I hadn't thought about really reading this, but I'm going to in first, let just listen. In 1 Peter, this is his letter, years later, the rock, the one who chose to follow for the rest of my life. Here's what he writes to us. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Be firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. And after you have suffered for a little while, Peter knows all about that. He suffered terribly. The God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. Signed, Peter. Love him. Don't you? I want to be like that. Even in the midst of a suffering and anxiety and pain and worry and whatever else is on our hearts and minds here this morning, it can be a holy experience if we choose to embrace this man Jesus. Our Lord says, I suffered, you can expect to suffer too. But when I allow the discouragement and the depression and the anxiety to rule in me, it results in bitterness, and God says that is so destructive. No, right now, cast all your anxiety on me. All of it. And that will be a holy experience. What are we learning from the suffering as followers? Patience, I would hope. Humility, holiness. Am I getting better or bitter? Peter says, he's worth following. Jesus is calling for a radical obedience born out of delight rather than duty, because I will obey what catches my heart. Has he caught yours? Do you want to follow this man, Jesus? Peter said, yes, I do. I want to say, yes, I will. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, goodness sakes, we've hardly begun searching the record of who you are. But Father, we do know that you are worth following because you're the Christ of faith. You're the Son of God, the living Lord, the resurrected one. Now I want to follow you today and forever. Help me do that. Help me go that way and want that in my life. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.